What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 421, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing, and the guy adjusting his camera over there is, of course, my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just looked a little off-centered, so... little last second adjustments, but no, I'm doing good.
I always feel like I am off-centered. Like if I look at this camera, I feel like I am.
Sometimes it makes sense, right? Just a little, but
yeah.
It's all good.
But in any case, it's another Wednesday, which means we have another night of talking about tech. Some interesting stories. We got some new launches of not necessarily PC products, but we're going to talk about them anyways. Some interesting stuff about AMD and how they're probably not, maybe not going to make a high-end GPU this next time around. So lots to talk about. Also, a very idiot-proof product, which I actually appreciate. And if you've ever dealt with a family member trying to get them to use a piece of tech, you'll definitely appreciate it as well. Okay. A lot to talk about. We do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you want to follow along and click through as I kind of click through, you can go ahead and do that. Or if you hear about something on the podcast and you want more information, everything that we're going to be talking about is linked here to all of the articles and everything like that. So let's jump in to the idiot-proof product, a product that I think a lot of people, if you're traveling with a laptop, especially if it's a smaller one, like a 13-inch or 14-inch, having a second screen is always good for productivity. It just always is. Or even if you're at home and you're just like primarily a laptop user, adding that second screen, it just makes things so much easier and nicer. So this week I took a look at the AOC 16T3EA, which is a 15.6 inch 1080p 60 hertz portable monitor. And like I said, this is dummy proof. One cable, that's it. One Type-C cable. Nothing else. They can't mess it up. If this is like your uncle or your somebody, they cannot mess this up because there's only one cable to plug in and it should just work. There's no issues. So like I said, 15.6 inches. And one thing that's cool about this one is that one, it comes with a carrying case. A lot of these don't. So it comes with this nice carrying case. Also, it does come with a VESA mount as well. So if you did want to VESA mount this, you can actually go ahead and do that. There's the single cable, which is a Type-C. So your device does have to support Type-C, and it does have to support USB alternate mode, which most, almost like every laptop that's been made in the past, I don't know, a few years is going to support that over Type-C. The display itself is pretty basic. Again, this is a very budget-conscious portable monitor. Like I said, the screen itself is 15.6 inches. It does have some decently large bezels, as you can see here. Like I said, single Type-C on one side. That's all you're getting. No extra Type-C for power. No mini HDMI. And that's a pro and a con. It's a pro because it's one cable. You can't mess it up. So somebody doesn't know what they're doing. It's a con because this is really going to only work on devices that support alternate mode over USB-C. So no console, you're not connecting your Xbox to this over the mini HDMI. Right. You're not connecting other devices to this. It's just Type-C. So your device has to support it. So that can be a con. It can be a pro depending on how you look at it. On the top edge, we just have all of our buttons here and a little LED to let you know that you do have power and that it's working. And then the back is really interesting. So one, it has this kind of cool looking design here, but there's actually two stands built into this. So there's a stand to have it in what you would expect landscape mode, but there's also a stand for portrait mode and they just pull out. It's really like, it's just all built in. Again, you don't have to, it's really easy to figure out. Again, this is like very much dummy proof. So I really like that. And then you can see our four little connections here for that included VESA mount if you wanted to use that. But yeah, just really, really simple and easy. Now, setting this up, like I said, type C from your laptop or other device into the side, it's going to turn on and you'll be good to go. And then you can configure it how you would like, either if you want to extend your display or duplicate your display, you can easily go ahead and do that. Really, really easy to go ahead and do. Colors aren't amazing. It's basically going to be for a productivity type monitor. So you can see at 1080p, this is kind of what you're going to look like. Text looks great. So if you are somebody who's just using this for productivity, spreadsheets, things like that, emails, word processing, this is going to be just fine for you. It's not necessarily that bright either. I think they have it at 211 nits. We measured the max brightness at 208 nits. So it's not super, super bright or anything like that. It does just, it works in portrait mode, no problem. And like I said, the stands are great. So you can just easily put it in portrait mode. A lot of them, the stands won't work in portrait mode. This one has a stand for it. So if you are somebody who wants to do like multiple windows like this, you can easily do that. If you're somebody who's coding, it's great for portrait mode. Or if you're somebody who's like lurking on Discord and stuff like that, you can have that big window here. So I really like that. The only issue is that like the cable at the top is just going to stick out the top. But you can get a 90 degree cable if that's really what you do. Yeah. It does have an OSD. It has all the settings that you would kind of expect. And you, of course, you know, bring this up with the buttons that are on the top here. Nothing crazy to write home about as far as like OSD settings. There's nothing special. It's just what you would expect from a monitor. sRGB coverage, 64%. That's kind of what you expect from a budget portable monitor. You're not going to get anything amazing. Like I said, colors aren't amazing on this. This is really for productivity. That's not to say that you can't play games on this or do, but it's not going to be like that, you know, a really nice 144 hertz portable monitor. It's not like that. This is mainly for productivity, and that's kind of how they price this as well. It's $109.99, which I think is actually a good price for what you're getting. 1080p screen. It comes with the little travel sleeve, so you can easily throw it in a laptop bag with your laptop. It has the two stands that you don't really have to worry about if you want to do a portrait or landscape. And again, it's very much dummy proof. It's very much plug and play, nothing hard about it, right? But the downsides are, one, because it's so dummy proof, there's no other connection. So no mini HDMI, so you can't connect this to any HDMI device. There's also no secondary type C to bring a little bit more power. So this can only do 15 watts over that type C. So that has a lot to do with, because this is not super bright, because you don't have enough power to make it super bright either. So again, can be a pro, can be a con. So definitely something to think about. But if you're somebody who just needs a portable monitor that gets the job done, it's priced well. And again, it comes with the sleeve. It comes with the built-in stands. This is just, you know, like I said, I gave it an 8 out of 10. Nothing amazing to write home about, but again, it gets the job done. So check out the review if you are interested. I think this is like the monitor to get for the non-tech person that wants the second screen if they're traveling, or if they're mainly a laptop person, this would be the screen to get them, because it's super simple. And again, it comes with a sleeve. And I think a lot of people, if they're not tech savvy, they'll just like throw this uncovered, like on top of their laptop in the laptop bag. Yeah. So having the sleeve is nice as well. So,
and like that sleeve's going to cost you like 15, 20 bucks if it didn't come with it. So that's a nice, yeah, like you said, nice add in there.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed using the one that I have. You know, I reviewed one a couple years ago, and it was an older, like kind of first generation of these portable monitors. And it requires, you know, type C power and then that mini HDMI in, right? So it works with my older laptop, but my other laptop I have doesn't have HDMI out, so I can't utilize it with that. So like you said, just make sure you check those compatibility factors there.
Yeah, most of the new ones typically, if it's a higher end one, it will have type C, but it will also have the mini HDMI. But again, this one's very budget conscious. So like I said, I think it's just super simple and gets the job done. So like I said, check the review out. We'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday. Of course, that's where we feature a build or mod that has been completed in the Case Mod community. And this week we have Asus TUF BTF from SNEF Computer Design. This, of course, features Asus's BTF form factor, which means no cables, even on the graphics card, because it's all done through the motherboard and then all the connections on the motherboard are on the back. Kind of simple build for SNEF, to be honest. But I do like the colors, the sort of teal and white looks really, really good. And again, clean lines for the water cooling. Does anything stand out to you on this one, Ryan?
Super clean. All the color matching is really good. Right. Yes. I don't know if these pictures were touched up at all, but it looks like everything's pretty well matched on those LEDs, which is really nice. It's got the frosted tubing that you love. I like the square design language that is on the distro plate there. You can kind of see some highlights of just square design. You've got the square mesh at the back of the case. You've got some square pattern on the motherboard, chipset, heatsink. It's just like all these little attention to detail pieces. You've got the squares on the side of the power supply shroud, right? Like it just, no, it all very well thought out.
Yeah.
If we could have only gotten a white power supply. I saw that in the back there. It's a black power supply. I think they're probably pretty hard to come.
Have to say, this is just like we've seen the BTF stuff. We saw it at CES, but still, this is just super clean.
It is very clean. I was looking at it like, wait, they've, and then I remembered, oh yes, this is a BTF build.
Yeah. But yeah, really, really clean build. Really like it. And again, no cables. It does just make things just well, so nice.
Sometimes those TUF gaming boards don't have like some of like the VRM cooling around there is like a chrome or a polished aluminum in this case, I think, which looks really nice with the white, right? It reflects off and shows that color. Whereas sometimes in other builds, like if this was in a black case with other color schemes, I don't think that cooling solution looks as good, but it looks great in this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This like the right color choices, the right choices for everything. So yeah, definitely check this one out. Shout out to SNEF Computer Design for this build. And if you want to find all of the Case Mod Friday builds on the site, you just go up here to articles, Case Mod Friday, and then there's just a ton. You can keep on scrolling pretty much forever. We have 514 total posts in that category. So lots going on there. If you just want to check out Case Mods. Now that brings us to news. First, it appears that NVIDIA will be finalizing the RTX 5090 and 5080 designs this month. Do you think, so we're in what, September? Yeah, September 11th today. September, do you think we'll see, two questions. Will we see this card released before the end of the year, or do you think they're going to show it at CES, maybe come out after?
Yeah, I think we'll see a show at CES with a later release. I don't know. It feels too soon for the amount of news and specs and everything that we've heard about them for it to be released by the end of the year. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Even
at all.
If, you know, even
because you're at a weird spot, like you would, there's no way you're going to hit like a Black Friday.
Right? You wouldn't hit a Black Friday with it because it's a new product. They're not going to discount it.
Right, but people are still shopping on Black Friday. Like,
wasn't the 30 series like released towards the end of the year? Wasn't it like this? Let me look this up real quick. RTX 3090 release date. Because it was, September 24th. Never mind. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like really close. I thought it was like between Black Friday and Christmas, but I guess not. Yeah, I don't think we'll see RTX 5090, 5080 till CES. We'll see
them at CES, or at least
and it announced. Might even be like a little preview at CES. And again, there's delays, there's all this stuff, like we don't know. But the designs should be finalized by the end of this month. the cool, we've already talked about that, like the cooling should be able to handle 600 watts. But that 600 watts is the maximum heat dissipation of the cooling solution, not the actual TGP of the card. Are you like, what are you thinking for 550 series? Like, what are you thinking as far as performance, price? What are you thinking?
I mean, I'd love to see pricing on par with the 40 series. I feel like that's wishful thinking, though. I think we'll probably end up with, you know, a slight bump in price. No, maybe not. Maybe we'll look out and have similar pricing. Performance wise, you know, we talk about this a lot. We just talked about like AMD's latest CPUs that came out, right? And we didn't really see the, you know, as big of a bump as a lot of people expect with this. I feel like I've seen some numbers. I don't remember off the top of my head, though. But I'm expecting in NVIDIA fashion to have pretty big bumps at the top end in performance from previous generation. So
I just hope it's not all, I hope it's just not
all software
based. Like, oh, what is DLSS4?
Right.
DLSS4, even though it's software, it's only available on the 50 series. Because inflation, I can't imagine. I could see this. What is it? $16.99 for a 4090? So $17.99, $18.99.
Oof. I hope it doesn't go up that much, but
I mean, yeah. And again, we wonder how big it's going to be. It's supposed to consume more power. So how big is it? Is it going to be 4-slot? Just, you know, like what's going to go on there? But yeah, again, well, I mean, if the design's getting finalized, we'll definitely see more leaks before the end of the year, and we'll keep you guys updated on what that might actually mean, and what, you know, what we kind of expect. But yeah, I don't really expect to see anything from NVIDIA till CES. I really don't. Wishful thinking to get it before the end of the year, but
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense for them to do it. And it would seem like it would be rushed before the end of the year. And I don't think that they really need to rush.
Yeah.
It. Like,
they're not competing against an AMD, right? We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Coming up. They're not rushing to respond to a surprise card from AMD or Intel, right? They're the one that sets the pace. So,
yeah. So that's kind of what I expect. But I am excited. New graphics cards are always exciting. And again, that means that the previous generation will be cheaper as we get towards the end of the year. So that's going to be a good thing. Now, like Ryan said, they might not be competing really against AMD on this next gen cards, because AMD has said now that they're going to focus on the mainstream market with RDNA 4 GPUs. Not 100% sure if they won't make a flagship anymore, like a 7900 XTX. We don't know if that's actually what the story means, but they're going to have a very high emphasis on the mainstream. And again, that's where the sales are. Not everybody is, as much as we want to think that everybody's buying the top-end graphics cards, it's just not true. If you look at the Steam survey, you can see what people are using. And for the longest time, it was a 1060. It's probably a 3060 now. And that's where the bread and butter is per se. And that's what AMD wants to focus on. I also think that would give them more market share if they come out with a very competitive 6070 series competitor against NVIDIA that's very, very, very good and very, very cost effective. I think that would give them more market share. And I think it's probably what they want, is more market share more than anything. Because NVIDIA is going to have the top end card. They're still just, right. You know, and all of the money that goes into building that crazy top end card with, say, like all sales of consumer graphics cards, that top end is what, going to be 10%, less than 10%?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of their thinking. That, and again, it's not to say that they're not going to make a high-end one. That can always change. But it says the flagship models have been canceled per leaks, but who knows if that's true or not.
Well, what if you made like a, okay, if you say like a, you got a low end, a mid range, and the high end cards usually, right? What if they weren't going to make a high end, but they were going to make something that's between what would be their mid range and their high end, right? Like a three quarters card that, hey, we know that like we're not hitting the top end. We're going to give you better performance than our mid range at a little higher price, but not the price premium that you would pay for a high end card. Because guess what? Most people, you know, you might buy that card and you're not running an automatic monitor that supports it. Or we've just shown that like everybody would be really happy with just a little step up from mid range, right? Maybe they're doing something like that. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. And I think also if they do take the money and the everything from the high end and put it more into the mainstream, they could have this really well done card, really solid card that everybody wants, because it's not only great on performance, it's great on efficiency, it's great on cooling, like all of the things that you yep. want in a graphics card. If they're not focused on the high end, let's get this whatever mid-range model, mainstream model, the best one that we could do. They have to convince people to buy it, obviously, yeah. But it does make sense for them to gain market share. And I think that's what they ultimately want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty interesting. We'll see obviously what happens with that in RDNA 4 GPUs. And of course we will keep you guys updated on all of that. RTX 4070 GDDR6, not 6X. Yep. They're available now. They're online. The first one was sold on Newegg, exact same price as the 4070 GDDR6X. Now, keep in mind that, like, you'll see not really much difference.
Right.
You might see like one FPS maybe difference between a GDDR6 and GDDR6X model. But I don't like NVIDIA just changing it.
Right.
And again, yeah, there's like no indication which one's different. I don't think.
If you call this like the 4070 light or, you know, yeah, give it again, some other designation.
Like on Newegg, it does say GDDR6. I mean, I guess it says,
yeah.
But yeah. The box doesn't say that.
Well, and it also says GDDR6 in 20 words worth of product title and naming, yeah. Right? So some people may just go right past that.
Yeah, but the box is just going to say RTX 4070 on it. It's not going
to
say...
Yeah, you have to get into the specs table in order
to find it's, that. So I don't like them just changing it and keeping it the same price. Like, it should be... Give us $10. Like,
or you know tweak... And the other thing is they didn't tweak any of the other components of the card to like get the same performance or better performance out of the slower memory, right? It's the same. Everything else is the same. It's just you get the slower memory. You know, they could have given this a different BIOS or, you know, some different clock speeds on the GPU and the memory in order to make up for that poor performance hit. But unfortunately, they didn't.
They did not. So I'm. Yeah, I mean, it's not like a crazy big deal because the performance is not really going to be something that's going to you'll really see. But I still would like to just have seen just get us a little discount or something. But yeah, those are all available now. And again, some places you might be able to tell difference. Some places you might not. Like Ryan said, look at the spec table to see if it's the GDDR6X or GDDR6 version. Moving on from there, you know, holidays are coming up. you want to buy your wife something nice, you know, your wife, your girlfriend, it's, you know, you want to buy somebody something nice. You could now buy a graphics card purse.
Yeah, with a top of the line GPU, right?
This one features a GT 730 and it's $1,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. This was it a GT 730? Good gall. What are we doing here?
I would hope that like this gold is real gold to justify that price, because this is super ugly. It's a GPU.
Does the fan plug in? Does it light up? Does it do anything cool?
I don't know. The GPU is encased in epoxy, and it's inside the purse, which looks like a square.
Yeah.
It does look kind of cool. Sort of.
I don't
know. Yeah, I guess there's some girls that would want this.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Like gamer girls and stuff. But sure. Like $1,000 for.
I mean, you can make an epoxy purse like that without the GPU. I mean, there's some gold fleck in there, it looks like.
Is this real gold?
If it was real gold, I feel like it would cost more. Because that's feels like it's a decent amount of gold.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Now, remember, the GT 730 is $20. Yeah. They turned a $20 product with some epoxy and a little box into a $1,000 purse.
I've got some epoxy resin. I've got I got a GTX 970. Do that.
Yeah. They have one with the P100 from NVIDIA. The high end chip right here. Look at this one.
That at least looks better than that stupid fan sticking off the side, I think.
This one is $65,000.
Oh, holy!
Let's go to the website. Let's see GPUpurse.com. This is a real thing. Okay.
Yeah, that went to the 730. There's other models though. Is that the fastest fashion? Oh my.
So this is the H100. Right, this one.
That one kind of looks neat.
Whose idea was this?
Somebody with a bunch of extras.
And like they're like just
because they don't have to be working, right? You get a bunch of old retired hardware.
We should buy.
Go to that bottom left picture.
This one?
Yeah. And look at the epoxy. It's not even clean looking on the top there. It just looks. Nah.
This is just like I feel like this. It's not a scam, but it's totally a scam. It's totally like somebody who has extra GPUs and like maybe like they're learning epoxy and they're like, oh. Let me try this. And some like Linus will buy it just because.
It says this purse has, well, an external cooling fan that spins. Okay, it does spin, but not like there's no power source.
I'm making 10 more in the next few weeks.
Okay. Yeah, this is someone just, making these.
I'm going to start. I have a bunch of GPUs.
Make a CPU purse or a little CPU compact, you know, like with a little mirror.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That's a good idea. We're making so much money over here. But yeah, that's the GPU purse, GPUpurse.com. If for some reason you really want one, that's quite interesting right there. Moving over to mobile GPUs, AMD officially announced their RX 7800M, 180 watt TGP, 12 gigabytes of memory. This is going to power a bunch of laptops. And it should be good. It looks like it's going to perform right around the 70 series, I believe, from NVIDIA, like kind of, you know, GeForce RTX 4070. Actually, oh, there's already a review out. So it actually beats the RTX 4070 by 28%.
Holy cow.
In testing from one notebook. So yeah, I always say I like competition in this space. NVIDIA obviously super dominates this mobile space. But having a pretty solid mobile GPU from AMD is a good thing. And this one does have, what does it have? 12 gigabytes of, what is it? GDDR6. I know I have it here somewhere. 12 gigabytes of VRAM. Yeah. But yeah, like I just think this is a good thing. And it would be fun to test a laptop with this, just to see how it does. And like the biggest thing I'm really would want to see is like temperature, and AMD's never been great on temperature. So like temperature efficiency, but having another player that's actually decent in mobile graphics again is a good thing, because that brings competition and brings prices down. Would you, if you were buying a gaming laptop, would you buy one with AMD hardware?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. They just aren't as like easily accessible, like to see in the flesh, right? You go to a Best Buy or something and like probably everything there's going to be Intel. There may be a few AMD setups, but in order to really get one of these and experience it, you've got to go to a micro center or just order one off of Amazon or Newegg or from the manufacturer directly. And then it's like, oh, well, I don't like how this keyboard feels or something, right? With a laptop, you kind of want to, I don't know, in my opinion, get a feel for it. But
yeah,
absolutely. If there was something that made sense, you know, component wise and price wise, absolutely.
Yeah, this should be good too. Like we've seen, you know, previous generations of AMD mobile hardware not be that great. So having something that's, I mean, RTX better than RTX 4070 mobile is a good thing. How much adoption we'll see and how many SKUs you're going to get from the different manufacturers, that's another question, but obviously a step in the right direction. So I definitely like that. So we talked about Acer last week. They announced some new products. One that we didn't cover last week is a 600 hertz refresh rate monitor. This is their Nitro VX240 F6. 1080p, this is a 24.1 TN panel. Obviously for like Counter-Strike, fast-paced, because again, it's 600 hertz, which is crazy.
That's really high. But $600 seems very affordable for pairing it up with that high of a refresh rate, in my opinion.
A dollar per hertz? Per hertz,
yeah.
But yeah, totally designed for esports. 600 hertz. You obviously need a graphics card that's going to push that too. Yeah. But and again, at 1080p, at 4090 will do it.
And it's a TN panel, right? Yeah. So you're not going to get some of the benefits of like IPS, or you're definitely not getting the color. Yeah. You know, the contrast and everything of an OLED or anything like that. But this is, for those super high frame rate games and players.
Yeah. Yeah. So they definitely, we're getting hot. Do you think we're going to get to, I don't even think 240 hertz is like normal. You know what I mean?
Sorry. I had an amber alert on my phone all of a sudden.
But like 240 hertz isn't even normal.
No. Like that's, for most people, you'd be like, oh wow, 240 hertz, that's high, right? Like 144 to me is like still great. I mean, since we've played on higher refresh rate monitors, you know like how good the next couple levels up are. But for the average person, like 144 hertz, 120 hertz, 165 or something like that is still very like respectable.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to see a 1000 hertz monitor at CES.
Oh, at some point, sure. You think this year?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, if Acer,
we can't be that far off, right?
If Acer of all people is showing a 600 hertz monitor now, it's September, January. Yeah.
Who do you think it'd be, like an Asus?
Maybe Asus
Gigabyte.
Yeah, Asus Aorus would be those people.
Samsung, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe we'll see, but we should see some high refresh rate monitors in January. So, moving on from that, we talked about their Blade 7, which is their mobile gaming console. It's their first one from Acer. And I don't even honestly don't think this is that big of a deal. but it appears that it is a rebrand of another console from a company called Terran's Force. So again, we talked about it. We said it looked great. It probably is based off of this mobile gaming console, except for the Blade 7 got the newer Ryzen 7 8840HS. This one has the Ryzen 7 7840U. A little bit of a difference, but from what everybody says, this is like, this is the same thing. And again, I'm not mad about it. Like, Antex one is a rebrand, and that's fine. And if somebody else is making this and it's good, if anything, if you're not making it yourself, like an Asus or Steam Deck, you can't make changes as easily, and you can't necessarily optimize the hardware as much. Right. That's the only difference. But for most companies, a rebrand is fine. I don't see it as a big deal, to be honest.
No, and especially with the Acer is going to have the better performing part than the original. Yeah. No problem with that.
Yeah, I don't see it as a big deal. I don't know why this guy's outside playing video games, but why not? I always find these like PR photos.
He's at the beach.
Yeah, these PR photos are really funny that they like.
I mean, that's one place you can play it, right? But maybe there's a shark warning, and everybody's had to clear out of the water, and so he's just using the downtime to play it. Maybe that's what it is.
Sure. I don't see anybody who's at the beach playing. They're always funny. Like the PR photos for a lot of these are really funny. But yeah, that is what's going on with Acer. Talking about consoles, PS5 Pro was announced. AMD hardware. A lot of people are really upset with the price. Super upset. $699, $700. Ooh. The original PlayStation 5 was $499, with the online only version being $399. Obviously, we've gone through a inflation.
Yeah.
And this has upgraded hardware. Do you think it's too expensive?
So,
it has Wi-Fi 7.
That's got to count for something, right? I mean, it's still not getting you like higher can it output to 8K or?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay.
It supports very variable refresh rate and 8K resolutions.
How does that compare to the just PS5? I'm not like up to speed on those.
I think
the PS5 do is only 8K?
No, it only do 4K. And I think
so the 10 people 60. That have 8K TVs can.
But like, yeah, and then it comes with a bigger 2 terabyte SSD.
That's good.
Extra SSD slot for storage expansion. Okay. Like the thing that I'm wondering is like, when was the PS5 released? PS5 release date 2020. So 4 years. So yeah, I guess they're not ready for a PS6. So this is just the Pro. Like, I don't know. Someone's car's keying.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear that? Yeah. Someone's car's going off. I hope it doesn't go the rest of the podcast.
Go forever. Yeah, I don't know. That's a big price bump. And these consoles are big, too. Like, that thing is.
It's like large. I mean, there is essentially like a PC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, $700 is a lot. It is an upgrade, but like typically, again, 4 years. So we just talked about graphics cards and kind of what we expect to see NVIDIA do. When we get a new series or a new thing coming in, we want it to be higher performing at the same price the previous one launched at.
Correct.
Obviously, things are a bit skewed because of inflation, but I think a lot of gamers were like, well, the PS5 launched for $499. This is $300 more expensive. Or $200 more expensive. Or wait.
I mean, what they're saying that...
Yeah, $200 more expensive.
And it has their new
Or no.
Like DLSS type, what is it?
Yeah. PRSS or whatever. PSSR.
PSSR, yeah. I don't know.
But, yeah, it's...
I can only care so much about a console.
And again, like, we've had... Consoles have kind of been sort of the same price for a while. And again, yeah, I don't really care about consoles really either, but I just... Everybody on the interwebs is really upset about the price. People will still buy it.
Oh, sure.
You know, so... Yeah. Interesting. Go on sale. Pre-order September 26th. Official launch in stores November 7th.
Yeah, there was a little blip down there that like content creators can, or game creators can issue patches to existing games, right? So that you can take advantage of that hardware. Because it looks like, yeah, it says updated games will be labeled as PS5 Pro Enhanced. Because I was thinking about the two, I was like, well, if the games you're playing on it are the same PS5 games you've been playing, they weren't designed optimized with this hardware in mind. Yeah. So
yeah, that's very
sending
true
out new texture packs and all of those things would be required. So,
and again, like high res textures, 2 terabyte hard drive.
Well, you know, yeah.
That's gonna fill up too. So interesting. Like I said, I think most people are really upset with the price, but it is, expensive for a console. I still would say, especially because like a lot of times the parents are buying the console, right?
Yeah.
And that's an expensive thing to buy. Moving on from there to cases, new wooden edition of the Dancase A3 looks a lot like a Fractal Design case. But it makes sense for this Dan case. I don't like it with the window. I like the mesh side panel for me. But yeah, a nice little addition to the Dan case. If you're not familiar with this, is a small form factor case. Essentially a collab between Lee and Lee and Dan cases. Okay. And would you build in something like this? You said you were trying to do a small
form factor. No, I do like this. I prefer the windowed version. I just in these small cases, I hate how much visibility the power supply has in the finished build with a windowed case, right? If you do the mesh, you're not really going to notice it.
Yeah, that's what the mesh side panel looks like.
But
this is the only color option as far as like the wood. There's not like a lighter or darker. It's just this one. But I think it looks nice. And again, if you're looking for that kind of more chill aesthetic, not gamer-esque aesthetic in your on your desk, this is probably going to sit on your desk. It's going to look pretty nice. So yeah, nice to see that. I don't know if there's like a price, not sure, but yeah, pretty cool to see that there as well. Apple events. I don't know. I read some articles on it. If you guys are interested in iPhone 16, new Apple stuff, MBKHD has like a great video going over all of it. And I think he covers it quite well. Little incremental upgrade, nothing crazy, a new button. They added a new button, which is supposed to be crazy. It is interesting how, and every company does do this. It's not just Apple. I think Apple's just the biggest culprit of it. Yeah. They add these little things and they make it out to be the biggest thing ever. But you're getting, so like I have an iPhone 15 Pro, the 16s do have a new processor, which will give you faster speeds. You're also getting that new button, which is essentially made for the camera. So if you're shooting like this way, the button is essentially like right here. Kind of.
So you don't have to tap your screen.
Yeah, you don't tap your screen, and then it's a touch sensitive, so you can like swipe it too and go through different camera things. Right. For some people, that would be good. You're getting new cameras, I believe. Supposedly better battery life, but they didn't mention how much better or stats, which is weird. New type colors. C, right? Yeah, they'll have Type C. 15 had Type C.
Yeah.
this is the normal version of the phone. So this is the new color range, and then the pro versions of the phone as well. And here's that new side button thingy right there. I'm not on my upgrade either, because I do it every two when I upgrade my phone.
Yeah, so, well, and it's probably not work. It doesn't make sense for you to go.
No, it's not really worth it. They did add 4K
120,
I believe, into it. Which again, like, if I'm not shooting 4K 120 on my iPhone,
no.
For some people, maybe if they're like a total iPhone creator and they need that 4K 120. But yeah, nothing crazy on the iPhone. Incremental upgrade. But if you're coming from like a 12, or I mean, this is a massive upgrade for you, obviously. Type C is just, yeah.
So much better, yeah.
Yeah, needed that for a long time. Talking about that, they also did announce new AirPods Max. So the original AirPods Max came out in 2020. And get this, they added new colors.
Okay.
They changed it from Lightning
to Type C.
To Type C.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. In 4 years.
That's a lot of work.
Like I said, I watched MBKHD's video. It's using the exact same chip set, whatever, in the headphones. Nothing else has changed. Same holder thingy, like same case that it comes with, which is trash from everybody I've talked to who has these.
Calcho says, what? No screen on the case? Yeah, well, yeah. But you know what? They thought really hard about what colors to give. But like
I said,
another thing is these are $550.
In MBKHD's video, he's like, I think like the AirPods Max team just like went on vacation.
Right. Did they forget that they made this product and then they were like going down the checklist of, all right, we're going to talk about these things today. And they're like,
yeah, it's like,
tell
okay,
them we put USB-C on it.
That's basically what they did. And they made new colors. That's essentially what they did. That's crazy. In 4 years, that's crazy. Especially like, again, there are people that are Apple fans and they like, okay, well, yeah, this, I'm finally going to get rid of this Lightning cable that I've been using for these forever. I want something else. Like, I want better sound. I want different headband. I want something. And all I got was colors and a Type C.
Like, did they say anything about the Vision Pro?
No.
Or anything?
Not that I know of. I didn't really watch it. I only got like stuff.
It's like that thing came out and then I haven't heard a thing about it since.
I can't imagine they're selling a lot of those.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just... That was the Apple event. Yeah. I really hope the next generation that I'll buy of the iPhone has some new
tricks. It's worth it. Yeah.
I mean, it is worth it. Like, I use this phone a lot. I make content with this. It does everything I need. I got the highest capacity, which is 1 terabyte. Like, I never run out of space. Like, again, now, because you don't remember, again, we're old. Ryan and I are old, where we used to get the phones for like,
it was like free.
Yeah, essentially free. We don't get that anymore. So like, these are technically an investment. So for me, this is a business investment for creating content. Like all the shorts you saw from CES were shot on my phone. But yeah, I just think that there was a time. And again, this is across not just Apple, but like all manufacturers, were like the next thing was so, they did something crazy every release. They did something like for like iPhone 1 to iPhone probably 8, everyone was this big thing.
But like, but think about it, that was so early in smartphone technology, right? That like, there were so many things we hadn't thought of to add to them that anything, like some of those things were considered so big. And now you're just all these refinements. Think about cars. Like, you go from a buggy to like, you know, like now, yeah, we get some things that are new, but like cars don't change that much every,
True.
It's just a design. Feature wise, they're not that much different.
But do you also think like, you know, Steve Jobs was like pushing the envelope, like he was there to push the
envelope. But I don't know, where would they have got what else would you, where else would you have gotten if he was still around?
True.
I mean, who knows, right? But
yeah,
like
I just think that, like, and we see it with graphics cards. We see it with graphics cards too. We see it with a lot of things. Like, we get these little incremental upgrades. But I also think that every year we're getting a new device every year, right? Graphics cards every 2 years, like, we're getting new architecture. So it's like, we, and again, all of these companies are beholden to the stock, to the shareholders and all this stuff. So every year we need a new device across multiple, not just phones, but like multiple product categories. So you can only do so much in a year from the last launch. You know what I mean? So I think that has a lot to do with it too. But
yeah,
interesting to say the least. That is it for the news. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a really interesting graphics card. So it's a 4060 Ti, which is nothing necessarily new. But this one from Asus, they put an M.2 SSD slot on it. So if for some reason you maybe have a motherboard that has one M.2, you want to add a second one, or you have a motherboard that does not have an M.2 on it, you can add an M.2 and it's on the graphics card itself. So I'll be taking a look at that. So pretty exciting. And it's actually my first time taking a look at a dual card too. So this is their RTX 4060 Ti dual. Really small and compact card. I actually really like it. So I'll be taking a look at that next week. For our question of the week, we are going to go back to consoles. And Taltosh, you're in the chat if you wanted to chime in on this as well. What was the last console that you were really excited for?
It was the Nintendo Wii.
I
saw this question earlier in the day and I was like, I don't know. And then I was like, oh, duh. Like, because one of my buddies got it like right after it came out, maybe even had it launch day. And like the first time I went over and played that thing, I was, oh my gosh, I've got to have one of these. Cause I think before that, my previous, when did the PS3 versus like the Wii come out? I feel like the Wii came out after the PS3. Is that right? Well, anyways, PS3 was November of 2006. Nintendo Wii release date was 2006. Okay, so they were they were 5 days apart.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I had a Wii before the PS3 then? Because I had both. But I was, super excited about the Wii once I used it. And, you know, I was one of those people that got to Best Buy early on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning. Because that's when like the ads would come out, in like the Sunday paper, and they'd be like, we'll have five in stock, or every store will have this many, or whatever the case would be. And so, yeah, I would say for sure the Wii was the one I was most excited
about. I do remember the Wii. It was like such a, it was so cool. I got it, and you got a game with it too. It wasn't like you had to buy a game off the bat. You got Wii Sports, which was, that was so much fun.
It was like a demo, but it was a good demo, right? Because it had enough content to keep you interested.
Yeah. I think for me, Xbox 360. Xbox 360 was, I was an Xbox player at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I think Microsoft came in with the original Xbox and they were just doing so many cool things. And I think too, it's like, you talk about this PS5 Pro, right? Mm-hmm. That just got announced. Like you said, and like many people said online, there's no games that support it right now. And there's no like launch title. Like, that was the biggest thing about consoles going back. There was always a game that launched with it that like made you want to get the console.
Right.
Like for PlayStation, wasn't it like Call of Duty or like
the first PlayStation? Or
no, not the first PlayStation, but like there was always these games that were the reason you bought the console, and now you don't get that, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't follow the launch cycle of those very often. Other, obviously you have like Halo and Xbox, and then you've got some titles that are, straight PlayStation titles, but yeah, with And again, everything has to be, you know, updated and upgraded to support those new performance features.
I just like I said, I just remember, and again, maybe it's because we were younger, but like the original PlayStation and even PlayStation 2, Xbox 360, there was always these really awesome titles. That was the reason you bought the console, right? And it seems like now there's just maybe not. I don't know. And again, maybe it's because we're so far removed from that now, like you and I both, that you're not thinking, like we're not really following it. So maybe there is, but I don't, like there's not some crazy title that like we haven't heard of that that's on PlayStation 5 or that that's on Xbox right now.
Kautos was just saying PS1 had a launch title and he says from Software. So I'm guessing the name is From Software is the publisher. I'm trying to think of like a PS1 launch title. The one I can think of is like
Crash Bandicoot.
Or like, wasn't there like Ridge Racer or something?
Or there was like SSX Snowboarding. That was like the coolest game ever.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's see. What is it? PlayStation 1.
He probably knows. He's just quizzing us, I'm guessing. Because he says name the title.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. Every PlayStation launch title. I haven't. NBA Jam Tournament Edition. That's good.
Pull it up.
Ridge Racer. So, okay, I'll bring it up.
Said Kingsfield. Never heard of it.
That's not on this list. Yeah, Air Combat, Battle Arena.
Yeah, Ridge Racer was on there. All right. So
yeah, Ridge Racer. Soul Calibur is on there. Street Fighter. Crash Bandicoot's not on here. That was like one of the best games for PlayStation. I feel Crash Bandicoot was. Let's see. Xbox.
Oh, Japanese launch only. Okay, well.
Looking back. Oh, wait. Okay, so Xbox. They had a lot of launch. Like, this is a lot. Tony Hawk. NASCAR, Madden. But there's no, like, again, all, like the Halos and the Gears of War, those were Dead or Alive 3. Oh, no, Halo was a launch title for the original Xbox. Xbox 360, Call of Duty 2, all the Perfect Dark Zero, Need for Speed Most Wanted, such a great game.
Oh yeah, that was
Quake 4, Ridge Racer 6, Xbox One, Battlefield 4. Yeah, let me see, PlayStation 2 launch titles. Let's see what's on PlayStation 2. There's a lot.
That's a big list.
Armored Core. Oh, Armored Core 2 was a lot
of fun. Midnight Club.
Midnight Club was a lot of fun.
Fun, yeah.
Ridge Racer, again. SSX, there it is.
There was like a motocross
Tekken
game that I played the heck out of, too.
Tekken. Time Splitters. Unreal Tournament. Yeah, some good games. Yeah, I think that you always had the game you wanted for the console. And now that like everything is kind of everywhere, like a game is for the, I mean, there are some exclusives, I'd say, but like you can play Halo on PC. You can play Gears of War on PC. You can play Call of Duty on any of them. You know what I mean? Like there's no exclusive that's like I have to buy a PS5 or I have to buy an Xbox. What are we on? Xbox Series X, you know. Yeah. So that's like I said, that's the question of the week. Do you have any more tech stuff you want to talk about, Ryan? Anything interesting or cool or
I don't think so, no. I was trying to look around the room. Oh my, like I'm trying a new USB port tonight because like I've been having this trouble, right, with USB, my keyboard and mouse popping offline in the middle of gaming. So I moved it over. I did hear it pop off one time, but my keyboard and mouse did not go dead. So that's good. So I've got two more things on this internal hub. I've still got my Corsair Commander Pro for my fan and light control. And then I've got this external USB SSD that I will need to move before we start streaming, because that's the drive I stream to or record to on all of our game streams. So no,
that's one of the most annoying things, and I've had it on multiple systems, is where your USBs just reset. And typically the way you solve it is you get a powered USB hub that typically fixes it, because it's just like a little power thing. It's just like resets that hub. And has a lot to do with your CPU and different voltages and stuff like that. But powered USB hub typically fixes. That's what I had to do on this system.
Even. But it didn't fix it last week, right?
Yeah, so you said.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll see. Old man bought another keyboard.
I wonder how many keyboards he has. He might have as many as me.
He's probably got more than you.
Epo Makers. Let's look this up. Epo Maker. Yeah,
with a screen on it.
CIDO.
ABM 081.
I can't type.
He has two new. Yeah, I have a. Well, I have a new Tukio Capco brand.
This is just the deck. This is it assembled. So this is the little screen right here. That's cool. Epo Maker makes really good keyboards. Like, I have a couple of theirs, and I really do like them as well. So, pretty cool. Nice. Taltosh has a new keyboard as well. Maybe Capco it will. Keyboard. Maybe it will make him better at gaming.
Oh.
All right, guys. Well, pretty good. We are going to go ahead and end things here. Of course, we're going to switch over to Twitch. That's where we do our gaming stream. We're going to be playing some Apex Legends. None of us are that good, but we do like to play here on Wednesday nights. So that URL is going to be twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan runs that stream. So if you're going to be yelling at how bad everybody is, you'll be yelling at him, not me. Right. But we will see everybody over there. Thanks everybody for coming out, and we will see everybody next week.